Today my topic is observing your worldview. Observing is a way to prepare ourselves to receive awareness. Judging, on the other hand, shuts down the flow of awareness and it creates a conclusion that may or may not be accurate. It amazes me when I discover that as I look at things and I'm not really seeing them. It's as though my vision is so filtered by my beliefs, by my expectations, by what's going on in my life at that moment, emotionally or mentally, and by my previous experiences, that I'm actually not observing this unique and new situation that I happen to be in, but instead I'm reviewing the past in the same way I saw it the first time. Making the decision to observe is to determine and decide to connect our attention to something and then to let the environmental signals flow unimpeded. The goal of observing, which may happen automatically, is to allow greater affinity, which leads to a greater level of understanding. Said in a different way, the goal is to reduce the distance and resistance between us and that something that we are observing. And the distance I'm referring to is the vibrational distance that exists when we adopt an emotional state that is disempowering or withdrawing or combative or superior. In every case, before there is a worldview, there is a self-view. When I think of these two phrases, self-view, I hyphenate them, and a worldview, I hyphenate it. It is that view of ourselves that is the one that views the world. When we change how we view ourselves, guess what? The world changes. Christ in Christ Returns reveals startling truth, says that when we are born, we experience abandonment, insecurity, and a sense of loss of privacy. Recently, it occurred to me that these same feelings are probably what our mothers experience when they're carrying us when we're pregnant, or she's pregnant, and it is those same experiences of abandonment, insecurity, and a loss of privacy that she experiences during the birth process. Can you imagine? Then you say, gee, I wonder where I would have experienced those feelings the very first time. When did those energy patterns wash over me? During pregnancy and during the birth process is the likely answer. If abandonment equates to a loss of love due to a loss of connection, we can make up a self-view that explains, and of course this is really where we become very creative, that explains the loss of love. Maybe we feel unlovable. I lost love because I was unlovable, and that explains what happened. Maybe we feel that we did something wrong, and that explains what happened. Maybe our mothers feel one or both of these feelings and about unlovable and feeling like they did something wrong, and so now those energy of her feelings get impressed upon us, kind of like a tattoo. We get shaped and molded by those feelings, and we take her feelings and believe they are ours from the very start, as compared to they belong to our mothers and not necessarily to us. The insecurity felt by a mother bringing a child into the world certainly seems understandable today. A child puts a lot of pressure on a mother and the entire family because its needs are huge and somebody will be responsible for meeting them. That is not a small burden. With so much doom and gloom being marketed today, it seems logical that a parent could be distressed about the world that is going to swallow up their children. You don't have to be a member of a minority to be concerned about your child's future. Your worldview necessarily reflects your self-view. In the world, you could answer this question. Is it loving and supportive? If yes, then you would tend to feel loved and supported. Is the world safe to be in, to do in, to have things in? If yes, you're going to say, well, that explains why I tend to feel safe being alive, being creative and expressive, and being able to manifest rewards from my own energy exchanges, from the things that I can create in this life. However, if you said no to each of these questions, the world and you will have a different relationship. You won't trust the world to be loving, and you won't trust that you are lovable. You will feel the world is dangerous, requiring greater levels of self-protection on your part, and maybe defensiveness, always on hyper alert, like in an airport, you're on red alert all the time. You will need to be more vigilant about protecting your boundaries while at the same time doubting your ability to do just that. You can observe your worldview anytime and every time you want to. Look at the situation, the environment you're in right now as you're listening. It could be the kitchen or your office or the living room or in the car or elsewhere. Stop what you're doing. Observe how you feel about your environment. Is it okay? Or are you noticing what is wrong with it, making a mental list of all the things needed to improve it? Dishes need washing, shelves need dusting, on and on. More important, what do these conditions say about you? Do you feel pleased with yourself? Are you okay with yourself? Or are you overwhelmed? Do you berate yourself for letting things accumulate haphazardly? Do you use these situations to weaken your will and purpose? Or do you use these situations and these environmental signals, the way you translate them, to strengthen your will and your purpose? Christ in Christ Returns reveals startling truth, emphasizes the powerful impact that bonding, rejecting, has on human life, and not just human life, animal life and plant life as well. The current political campaigns for President of the United States has brought up tremendous rejection. People go out of their way to voice their hatred for one or both of the candidates. One of those candidates has gone the furthest in promoting rejection of various groups, ethnicities, and females than any serious candidate in recent memory has ever done. It is said that Donald Trump appeals to people who have a sense of defiance. His defiance is what they are relating to, their defiance of the status quo. And he feeds that anger because people's lives are a mess. And they look at what their lives are like and they compare it to what it could be or should be in their own minds. And then it's who's responsible for that? They blame it on the government, they blame it on immigrants, they blame it on various ethnicities, they blame it on, you name it, they blame it on. And they're thrilled that somebody is expressing their anger. The trouble is, I believe this to be true, all anger is self-anger, all hatred is self-hatred, all disapproval is self-disapproval. But instead of seeing the solution to a problem being our own responsibility and we can do something about it, the people that Donald Trump is appealing to are using it to blame others. They're projecting their own self-hatred onto other people. And Donald has helped them find a whole bunch of targets. The common worldview that these people and others subscribe to, and to a certain extent I subscribe to it either, that the political system is rigged and it favors a few over the many. And in a democracy, that's contrary to what the design was. However, destroying a seesaw because it is out of balance can only appeal to somebody who is intensely angry, bent on destruction, with a mindset that says the problem is out there. There's no responsibility on my part. That's my mindset. And you can see that at work at some of these political rallies that go on. But destruction does not equal the creation of order. It represents the creation of chaos. But people stuck in anger aren't thinking of order. They are trying to lessen the pressure of their own ineffectiveness and their failure to thrive. I guess it is obvious to you and me that the way we view ourselves and the world is what actually creates us and the world that we experience, right? You get it? That is why beliefs are so important to our attempts to be creative, expressive, loving, intelligent powers. We are creative, expressive, loving, intelligent, and powerful. And how creative, loving, and intelligent, and powerful are we? As powerful as our self-view and our world we view will allow us to be. I want to create an image for you of how we think and feel on a regular basis. Now, there are lots of ways this explanation has been done, but unless you can get the image of it, unless it's meaningful to you and to me, it's not going to really have much impact or value to us. We have memories of our experiences. That's simple enough, right? You have memories, I have memories, and those things are memories of our experiences. Consider a memory to be a container of energy that holds all the information that you and I gathered during and then after the experiences. You already know that an experience can be described factually, such as, I stubbed my toe. We would gather that information as the experience occurred, right? Oh, maybe there's a couple of expletives at the beginning of it. After it happened, we would gather more information that I would call meaning. We ascribe a meaning to that experience. So we have a facts, and now we're going to add meaning to it. What did it mean that I stubbed my toe? It will mean whatever it is I make up the meaning to be. Maybe I'm going to feel that I feel bad about myself because I made up that this is an indication, this is evidence that I was clumsy. Maybe I will be angry at the thing or the person I blame for my stubbing of the toe. It's somebody else's fault, you know. Somebody put that furniture there. Somebody else put the wall there. Somebody else put the door there, right? Pretty common. Now imagine a kitchen pantry or your kitchen cabinets, whichever is more real to you. We store containers of food in those places so that on a Sunday morning, if you were so inclined, you could create pancakes. To create pancakes for any other meal, you would go to the cabinets and or the pantry, bring out the containers of energy that represented the ingredients that you wanted to add to your creations. You would prepare bowls and spatulas, whisks, griddle, measuring cups and spoons, etc., as the required implements for the creating. Making pancakes is to create pancakes. But what could you be expressing in this creative process? Maybe you would be expressing love, nurturing and nourishing, fulfillment of need, etc. You could do that. Maybe you would express annoyance that you had this chore, which could mean just about anything you want it to mean. Victimhood, overwhelm, slavery, boredom, resentment, etc. You could make the presentation of your creation elegant, fun, or very ordinary. Just throw the stuff on a plate and put it in front of somebody or yourself. The choices would be yours. Or would they be? Would the choices really be yours? Let's see. Creating pancakes using commonly understood ingredients on a Sunday morning may be a ritual in some American homes, but using memories of past experiences to create new experiences is a ritual that is repeated hundreds of times a day by you, me, and everyone else. Think of this. Your experience of creating pancakes or not creating pancakes will be based upon your memories of pancake creating that you already have on your mental, emotional shelves in the pantry of your minds. In other words, your pancake experience will be a repeat of your previous pancake experiences unless you are totally present at this moment and not acting like a programmed robot. That's enough about pancakes. The same concepts apply to you and me when it comes to creating the healthy bodies we say we want. We say we want a healthy body, but then what is stopping us? We drink alcohol, smoke cigarettes, eat processed junk food, and so on. Why? Because we have memories. We have containers of energies that we have given positive meanings to, even though, on a factual level, we know they are not positive. Look at what you want to create in your life. A relationship with your source of being, your God. Most of us would go, yep, that's true. The effective use of your intelligence so it grows in awareness of how to produce desired results. You probably would agree to that too. Balanced emotional response in life to add fun, love, and spice to it. Yep. A healthy physical vehicle so getting around in the world is easy and convenient. Respectful, supportive relationships within your family so positive energies flow between all of you easily. And you feel good about them and yourself as you do that. Meaningful work that gives you an arena or, a playing field so you can develop yourself and help the development of others on all levels. The financial foundation so you can do, be, and have what you need. Not necessarily what you always want, but what you need. So you can focus on creating and expressing and no longer so much on worrying. A social network that facilitates energy flows that enables us to see ourselves and others in a better, more compassionate light. We can do all of these things if we use the proper ingredients. Right? Makes sense. The proper ingredients. And for most of us, the containers of energy called memories from our past are not the proper ingredients. We wouldn't knowingly use memories of fear and terror and suffering that we created at 5 years old to create ourselves again in the next 5 minutes. Just becoming aware of the habit of adding outdated ingredients, memories, will give us a chance to make other choices of what to add in order to be the creative, loving, expressive, intelligent, powerful beings that we have the potential to be. We are the master co-creators of our lives. And jumping in and recognizing that our self-view and our worldview are the things that allow us or disallow us from creating the lives that we want. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. Doesn't that sound as if the ingredients that we want to create what we want out of our lives already is being handed to us? We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.